Hello, and welcome to the Green Minds podcast.
Showcasing the science, stories, and solutions behind climate change with Phoebe Scott,
Alex Miller,
Lottie Flashkus,
and Guy Wilkinson.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of IB Green Minds. Joining me today is Olivia Khatib, co-founder and CTO at Sensifolio. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting.
To begin the episode, could you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and your work before Sensifolio?
Yeah, so I've actually graduated from Imperial, the business school, before doing a master's in computer science, still at Imperial College. Then I've started working in finance. I started as a quantitative risk manager at AXA Investment Managers, then moved to quantitative research at AllianceBernstein. And that's from this past experience that I've had the idea of Sensifolio and started developing Sensifolio on the side.
And what kind of triggered you to decide to set up Sensifolio?
Yes, so basically when I was seeing how asset managers were retrieving and integrating data, ESG data, it made me revolutionize the market and start something on my own, which is more kind of real-time and biased view of ESG data.
So could you summarize for our listeners what Sensifolio does?
Sure. What we do at Sensifolio is that we're rating more than 30,000 companies, so both listed and private companies. What we're doing mainly is retrieving a lot of different sources of information. So we have more than 100,000 different sources of information. So it could be the financial news, it could be the company reviews from current and past employees, could be the social media posts, such as Twitter posts, and also, you know, NGO reports or even the company's ESG or sustainability reports. So what we're doing is basically aggregating all of this and trying to get a very broad and neutral and unbiased view of what the company's ESG is, because we didn't want to have a very biased view of what a company's ESG is, taking into account only the company's ESG reports or, you know, CSR reports. But we also wanted to take into account all of the external stakeholders and internal stakeholders and their viewpoints and what they're saying about this certain company, because no one knows the company better than the employees themselves, for example. So we wanted to have their viewpoints. And by aggregating all of this, we could have, you know, a real-time data on companies, plus a very unbiased view of a company's ESG.
And what kind of expertise do the people who work at Sensifolio have?
So as we're integrating, you know, real-time data, it's mainly, you know, quantitative skills, you know, technical skills such as data retrieval, API retrieval, a bit of web scraping as well. So everything that is kind of coding intensive. So that's the main expertise of our people. So I would say, yeah, data scientists, data analysts, and a bit of ESG analyst as well.
And who are your clients?
So when we started, we faced a lot of demand from hedge funds and quantitative asset managers, because they were just relying on the traditional ESG data providers, and they wanted to have something more real time. They wanted to have something more, you know, unbiased. They wanted to have ESG data on a daily basis. And so that's why they were coming for us. And then gradually we faced a lot of demand from even traditional asset managers. And now we're facing a lot of demand from private companies as well, because some private companies are actually interested in what the internet is saying about them. And they want to monitor the public image on the internet. So that's why those private companies are coming to us as well.
Okay, that's really interesting. So these asset managers, hedge funds, are they using your scores as the entirety of their ESG analysis, or is it kind of a starting point for them to identify places to look?
So that's a very good question, because over the 5 years, we started with clients only asking for the final ESG scores to progressively clients asking for all of the data. So not only the final scores, but also the underlying raw data. And now we have some clients that are only asking for the underlying raw data. So they want to have all of the data to spot any signals instead of relying only on our scores. So I guess this is where the market is going to. It's they don't want to rely only on those final composite scores. They want to rely also on the underlying raw data and all of the news and all of the company reviews on the certain company so that they can rely on our scores or they can score the information on their side as well. So it's okay. More for a trust part that they want to integrate that. And also, yeah, to trust us more, you know, if they even want to integrate only the scores, they also want to test the data and having a look at the underlying raw data as well so that they can trust our final scores as well.
Okay, interesting. And what are your main responsibilities as Chief Technology Officer?
Yeah, so I take care of all of the technology infrastructure that we have in place. So from, you know, the back end to the front end, from the database management to the data retrieval and all of these API management from different providers.
Before we get into the details of Sensefolio's work, I'd like to talk about its key technologies. So yeah. Could you tell us a bit about what machine learning is and how it can be used to analyze ESG data?
Yeah, so machine learning is basically, as it sounds, you know, it's a machine that is learning from data. So the more data you get, the better the machine will understand a certain issue or problem or challenge. And this is what is happening with Sensefolio. The fact that we're covering more than 10 years of data, eventually we're having quite a high accuracy on our data and our analysis. So we bring all of this historical data to the machine, to our algorithms. For this example, we're using natural language processing, known as NLP, is a division of machine learning. It's mainly analyzing texts, corpuses of text, doing some sentiment analysis, among other. So this is what we're using at Sensefolio to get a final sentiment analysis on every single text we're retrieving. So yeah, as I was saying, we were retrieving, you know, for example, company reviews from employees, the financial news. We also take into account the company reports, as well as social media and, you know, NGO reports. So it's a lot of text, a lot of sentences to analyze, a lot of, you know, topics to map to, and a lot of, you know, words to analyze as well and to classify. So the way it works is you have a lot of text and you're trying to cluster all of those words towards certain topics, etc. And then eventually you do a sentiment on, okay, you take this text and what would be the sentiment on this whole text, given that you've already trained your data in an algorithm. And so, yeah, would that text will be more neutral or more positive or more negative? And this is what we're basically doing.
So am I right in thinking that NLP is just written text? If someone gave a speech, for example, you wouldn't be processing that. Is that correct?
Maybe that will be the next step for us. But now at the moment, we only take into account text. But, you know, everything is transcripted now. So even like the earning calls are, you get the transcript straight away after the call. So it's not really an issue for us. Plus, or, you know, recently we've done the US election sentiment analysis. So we're taking into account not only the news, but also the president's speeches. So we were just analyzing the text after the speech.
I'm sure we'll get into this in a bit more detail later, but what are the key advantages and limitations of using machine learning and NLP in particular?
So advantages is the fact that, I mean, the main advantage for us is the fact that we can analyze more than, you know, 30,000 companies, which is not something humans can do easily, you know. So we're not a very large corporation, like with thousands of employees who can analyze companies. So we're using all of this technology to be able to analyze a lot of different companies and a lot of data as well. Because at the end of the day, sometimes we're retrieving hundreds of thousands of tweets or even reports or texts or news. So at the end of the day, it's a lot of information. And even if you take one single employee to analyze everything about one specific company, it will be still a lot of work for him or her. So that's the main advantage of machine learning and all of this technology. But of course, the limitation will be the fact that sometimes the algorithm might be wrong. You will never have like a 100% accurate algorithm because sometimes there's new data and sometimes the algorithm has never seen this kind of data. So it's kind of assuming this will be, you know, more positive or neutral or negative. So you will never get 100% accuracy out of it, but the algorithms are improving as we speak. So by having more data, we get more accurate and hopefully tend to the 100% mark one day.
Great. Let's get into the details of what SenseFolio does. So I'm interested as to what factors are included in your company ESG framework.
Yeah, we have 50 subcategories coming from climate change, sustainability, biodiversity. This is for the environment pillar. If you take the social pillar, we take into account the health and safety within the workplace as well, the employee standards, the community responsibility, as well as the human rights. This is for the social part, but if you take into account as well the governance pillar, we take everything from, you know, the leadership to the management to the even the business innovation and performance of the company, as well as the business ethics and transparency, etc. So we're covering a lot of different ESG metrics that we eventually map to those subcategories.
How did SenseFolio decide on all the categories?
So what we've done is because there's no number one framework in the world now, there are three main frameworks, I would say. There's the UN SDGs, you know, the Sustainable Development Goals. You have the PRI, which is another accounting framework for sustainability. And you have the SASB framework. So what we've tried to do is basically aggregating those three main standards, take the best out of it and create our own framework, which is trying to cover every single topic and subcategory of ESG. We're trying to cover as much as possible. And that's why we've developed this framework, which is quite accepted by our clients. Some are relying on this. Some are more, you know, we need to stick to the SDGs or we need to stick to the SASB. So we still deliver like a mapping table for them to get a final SASB score using our data.
And you mentioned earlier that there are a lot of data sources that go into your calculations. Yeah. How do you choose which data sources to include?
So as I was saying, we were trying to be very unbiased and very neutral. So we wanted to take into account what the companies are saying. So we're still going to take their reports, their ESG reports, their annual reports as well. But we're also going to take the social media posts and also what the external stakeholders are saying or even the internal stakeholders are saying by taking their tweets, by taking the NGO reports, by taking the company reviews. We get a lot of viewpoints, a lot of information about a certain company. And that's what we like about this kind of way of doing, the fact that we're not going to listen only what the companies is saying. We're also going to listen to the employees and all of the stakeholders, basically. We want to choose the best data sources for every single stakeholder. That's how we ended up choosing those data sources.
If something happened, like, I don't know, some news came out that a company's warehouses were not paying minimum wage or something like that, how quickly would your ratings be updated?
I would say maximum 2 to 3 hours. That would be the maximum, yeah. Because whenever there's a new information, for example, a new news about a certain company, we integrated it in the next hour and we analyze it within the next 2 hours and the score will be updated straight away.
And what happens if the data is inconsistent? How does SenseFolio deal with that?
So that's the thing of, you know, aggregating as much data as possible from different viewpoints. The fact that on one side is going to be a very, very subjective view of this company's ESG. And on the other side, you have the complete opposite view and a very, you know, objective view as well. So it's the fact that we're aggregating those different sources of information, you know, from social media to companies' reports. So the overall view will be somewhat neutral and unbiased. By taking the average, we're considering that it's not going to be very inconsistent because we're retrieving a lot of different sources of information. But still, we're still assessing the, you know, objectivity and subjectivity level of every single text. So this is the kind of added value as well of Sensefolio.
How do you judge the objectivity or subjectivity?
So we've been developing the algorithm. So it mainly works with the terms employed. So some words are going to be assessed as very, you know, harsh. Some will be very smooth. We also kind of set a kind of threshold. If we see that, you know, for example, it happens a lot with social media on Twitter, for example, where a lot of bad reviews and comments are happening. If we find that, you know, a certain tweet is very, very biased and very harsh on something, it's either we're going to look at it and assess it ourselves manually, or we're going to totally discard this. So it's, you know, looking at the words and the terms employed and the tonality of the sentence.
And so sticking with social media, how would you get around the issue that statements on there could just be completely unfact-checked at all?
So yeah, that's the main challenge, especially during the US elections and all of those periods where you have a lot of tweets, first of all, to analyze, and you have a lot of very, very biased views. So we're assessing the subjectivity and objectivity levels of those tweets. And then we look manually if they're adding values or not at all. Regarding, you know, unfact-checked, it's more coming from random users posting a very biased tweet. And we're going to look at it manually. If it's coming from accounts that are known to be, you know, providers of fake news and fake information, we straight away filter them out. Otherwise, when it's coming from, you know, consistent and reliable source of information, we take everything into account.
So do you tend to just look at tweets from verified accounts, or would you use unverified ones as well?
No, we use both, but we're going to assign more weights on the verified accounts and a bit less weights on the unverified ones. This is a very high-level way of doing it, because if you analyze every single tweet every single day, you end up with millions and millions of tweets. And that's just not possible for companies, you know, to analyze every single tweet. So there needs to be some basic ways to clean out the data like this, and then start investigating more on those that we've assigned as, you know, trustable and adding value.
And would it be possible, theoretically, for a company to game the system? Like if they had loads of fake reviews, or, I don't know, put out a lot of fake stories somehow, would that be possible, or would it get flagged?
So that's the thing. So a company can pay, you know, public relations firms to have amazing media coverage, you know, amazing news about them and what they're doing, especially for ESG and sustainability. So let's say this is happening. Then you have what they're saying in their reports, sustainability reports, etc. But you still have some data providers that are going to provide us data, or we're also going to take into account the employees' reviews. Of course, they still can fake them as well, but we'll have some other kind of data that are going to offset it eventually. If, you know, the bulk of our project and Sensefolio and their works is the fact that we're also analyzing the gap between what the companies is saying and what the employees are saying and the stakeholders are saying. So if we see a big gap, and that's what we like to show to people and clients as well, that's kind of a red flag for us. You know, that's kind of a way of saying, okay, this company shouldn't be in your portfolio if you assess your fund to be very ethical and sustainable. Because given our data, we see a lot of discrepancies between what each side is saying. And this is kind of a red flag for us. And that's what we tell clients.
Some people might say that asset managers shouldn't be outsourcing analysis of ESG factors. to external providers of the service, such as Sensefolio, what would you say to someone with that opinion?
I wouldn't agree with that 100%. For example, as I was saying before, you know, some clients are only asking for the underlying raw data. So even though they have the ability to, you know, analyze the text themselves, it's quite hard for them to retrieve all of the data we're providing. Plus, they don't have the time and resources as well to analyze all of those companies' reviews and news, etc. And we're doing it for them, basically. And also, what I would say is our data is more real-time. It's more unbiased data, not relying on only on those companies' reports, etc. So I would say it's good to integrate ESG data. I mean, I would say traditional ESG data providers. But what we're doing is a more of an added layer. So a layer that you add to your existing ESG metrics that you have on certain companies. And you add the Sensefolio layer, which is about having information about this company's ESG on a real-time basis. So it's good to have both. And this is what we recommend to our clients as well, to have both traditional and, I would say, AI-based ESG data providers.
And what sets Sensefolio apart from its competitors?
I would say, as I was saying, you know, you have the traditional ESG data providers that are mainly relying on what the companies are saying in their reports every quarter. So they get data every quarter. And most of the clients, they don't really want to rely on a certain score for the whole quarter. They want to have a kind of evolution of the score. So that's why they come to us and ask for real-time data, a lot of different sources of information. And a very, you know, objective view of what the company's ESG is. So this is what sets Sensefolio apart from the competitors, the fact that we're aggregating and, I mean, retrieving much more information from different sources and we deliver, you know, real-time data.
I was having a look on Sensefolio's website and it said that the company was able to predict Wirecard's fraud. Could you tell us a bit about how you managed to do this?
Yeah, so what we've been doing is what we've been doing for other companies as well is, you know, monitoring and tracking every single news and every single, you know, information about a certain company. And by analyzing Wirecard's, we could see that, for example, the governance pillar, so the G score was constantly being down and down because of certain news. For example, one of the executives got suspended, I mean, got suspected of using forged contracts. That was beginning of 2019. Then over the course of 2019, there's been all the news that impacted the G score a lot. And eventually the ESG score was negatively impacted as well, but especially the G score. And when you have a very low G score, it's likely that there's something, you know, shady in the company. So that's why we could spot, you know, very big red flag for this certain company. And when this happened, we made the whole analysis and then we confirmed that we could spot a very red flag for this company. So what we've decided now is to, I mean, what we're still working on is publishing a certain set of companies every month saying, okay, there's something that is not working well there, or there's something going on there. You should take a close look at it and start analyzing it deeply.
It'd be interesting to look at that list. Going back to the scoring process, as you've talked about, you score on a lot of different categories. But I suppose that as you aggregate all of that, you're inevitably collapsing down all the dimensions to get to the ESG. So you could miss something. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
We're trying to map, So saying we're trying to map every single news to certain subcategories. So most of the time, single news can impact, for example, out of 50 can impact even like half of it. Not all of the categories will be impacted, but at least the ones that get impacted are going to be impacted very badly or very positively. So you have a very, you know, broad view of certain ESG. So it's either, you know, it depends on the clients. Some are really relying on the final ESG score, but some are really focusing more on E or S or G specifically. It really depends on the clients. But what we're providing is a way of mapping news and company reviews comments to certain subcategories, and it's up to the clients to analyze it.
And in general, do you think at the moment clients tend to care more about the E, the S or the G?
So it really depends on the region. In Europe, I would say they focus more on environment and social, whereas the US, I feel like they're focusing more on governance, as well as in Asia. They're not yet into environmental topics and aspects of the company, especially since the election of Trump, where he was completely criticizing every single sustainable initiatives from the companies or from the countries themselves. So it really depends on the region. So I would say in Western Europe, it's more about social and environmental aspects.
That regional difference is quite interesting. And how do you see ESG data analytics at Sensifolio and beyond evolving over the next 5 years?
What ESG data providers are all hoping for is a widely used ESG framework so that it's much easier for us to analyze those data and have a better view of what a company's ESG are about. So hopefully there'll be a trend and a consensus between ESG frameworks to converge into a final ESG framework for global companies to apply so that ESG data providers will be more able to spend more time on other things, such as analyzing other kind of sources of information, which could add value. So this is, for example, what we're hoping for at Sensifolio. It would be amazing if companies are reporting the same way so that we get all of the metrics and then we focus more on the other sources of information.
And that brings us almost to the end of the episode. I've just got a few more questions to conclude. So firstly, if a listener is interested in working in ESG data analytics, what advice would you have for them?
So it really depends on whether the listener is more interested in traditional ESG data or more AI-based ESG data. So if he's more into traditional analysis, you look at a specific company and their reports and what the company is saying. What the board is saying, what the management is saying at every earnings call. So this is one division of the ESG data analysis. The other one, which is more like us, is AI-based ESG data provider, where we focus on many, many companies and we try to fit models, machine learning or, you know, NLP and AI models to fit a lot of data. So, you know, millions of data points that we're going to, map to certain categories, etc. So this is depends on whether the listener is more of quantitative or more of traditional analysis.
And if listeners take away one thing from this episode of IB Green Minds, what would you want it to be?
Well, first of all, ESG in general is the future. So sustainability in general, you know, is the future. You'll hear about ESG and sustainability and ethical companies in the near future. And also at the same time, artificial intelligence is the future as well. So by combining those two together, yourself will be the future, you know. So you'll be constantly enhancing yourself and you also be willing to innovate on a daily basis. So you want to provide more data, you want to provide more analysis, and you push also companies to report more and more. You push them to follow certain standards, and eventually you push them to be more ethical and sustainable. And if we keep going like this, you know, we have a more, you know, fair world and way of doing finance and investing, etc. With the new generation of millennials, it's very likely that we have decent amount and percentage of, you know, portfolios that will be considered as ethical and ESG and sustainable.
Yeah, I think Sensifolio is obviously an interesting company being at the, as you say, the intersection of sustainability, AI, and also changing consumer behavior and opinions.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, you know, change mentality. And we want people to start developing their things and push companies to be more transparent and more ethical and sustainable and more and fairer for the employees and external stakeholders as well.
Thank you so much, Olivier, for coming on IB Green Minds. It's been really interesting to talk to you and hear about your work.
Thank you very much.